is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE Factory Approved Warehouse Outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Producer A Radio with a Y in it. Don't ask me why, except his last name has a Y in it, so he's trying to be cute, as Aaron fills in today for Jong. And he's also now doing the Degenerates 975 email or Twitter as well. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed anything the first hour? All available at podcastarena.com. The full show, it's all there. As a matter of fact, I went back and listened to some stuff from Friday on there. And easy to do. You can jump around. You miss anything great, it's all right there on Podcast Arena. I know we're going to recap the games, but our good friend Henry Thomas, who does the show here on Thursday nights, is on the line and has some more clarification, I think, about what happened. So let's get Henry on. What's up, Henry?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, now.
It was not me that buried you up there, but I do remember Fred Davis sitting next to me and saying to me, you don't yell in the press box. I was like, it wasn't a yell. It was just like, he said, you're cheering. And, you know, he always needles me about it because I do get wrapped up in the game because I always write down scenarios. We break down the game and scenarios and who we want to talk to after the game about what happened in this play, this play, this play. Well, I was going over the third down conversion, and they were doing really well, and we broke a really big third down, and I went, woohoo! And he went, really? You're cheering? And I was like, no, I was happy about what I wrote, and I was looking around like, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. But I did hear Barry say, you know, this is a professional place of work, and I was like, okay, I'll never cheer again.
What if Barry Warner would have said that to you? What if he would have said, "Hey, quit being a bleeping rookie"? Would you have? What would you have been angry? Would you have punked him out? What would have happened there?
Oh, I would have laughed at him very loudly and said, "I got the point. Thank you very much, Barry." And I'd have left it alone. I mean, he has the seniority, and I'd have understood it. I'd have laughed. I'd have thought it was funny, but I wouldn't have taken any offense to it. I'd have been like, well, he just doesn't know how to, you know. Being a player, you learn how to take the criticism out of that stuff because you can't be successful because there's some coaches that are just, and you got to pick out, okay, I got to keep my pads down, keep my hands inside. That's what he wants me to do. So I'll rest in that crap away. And that's what I do most of the time anyways.
Well,
I would have just let it go because, you know, I am a rookie. I'm like, hey, yeah, you're right, I'm a rookie. I'm used to seeing football games a lot, just as much as you, but not from up here.
You would have, be honest, you'd have mashed that old man. Come on. No way you wouldn't put up with that, Henry.
No, you know, one mean look or jump at him, and you know, and he turns pale and starts to faint on you. You'll be terrified. So no, I'd have giggled it away, and I'd have needled him about it for the rest of the rest of the game. I'd walk snuck up behind him and go, "Come on, that's just
all right, Henry. Thanks, man. I would just say this. That's why when I go to games, I get tickets. So I can enjoy the game as a fan.
Yeah.
If I go sit in the press box, I don't, and I know it's changed, and you got a lot of former players who have a different perspective on the game, and that's what they're going to do. All right, let's zip through some of these games, and we'll start with that Falcons-Cowboys game. Cowboys got off to a great start. They were running the ball really well, and when I looked up, and that game's 21-7 already, I'm like, oh my goodness. So, you know, Cowboys are going to do great, but then the Falcons made some really good adjustments in the second half to stop the running game, and Julio Jones went off, and that's a good Falcons team, and that's not an easy matchup for the Texans next week.
I don't know if the Texans or I don't know what the Falcons will look like next week because I think that Devontae Freeman is, I mean, it was obviously a great performance, but are you going to get that every week from a guy his size?
Is he an
every down back? I like Tevin Coleman. I was actually bullish on Tevin Coleman until he got hurt.
Texans have been pretty good against the run too.
Which, yeah,
you know, we'll see. But Tough loss for the Cowboys, but not a game I expected them to win without Romo, and they didn't.
No, that was a tough one, and you know, Atlanta just outplayed them when it counted, and when Dallas put pressure on Atlanta or on Matt Ryan, they looked good. And in the second half, when the pass rush—I don't know if it got tired, but the pass rush went away.
I think that's part of it. They got worn down a little bit. You don't have Gregory there. You don't have Hardy. Not that they've ever had Hardy, but those are guys that are in your rotation. And, you know, it's hard to play four quarters with guys who aren't supposed to be out there. And I think that was part of it. The Colts-Titans game we hit on a little bit in the first hour. I mean, the Colts were extremely lucky to get out of there with a win. And, that defense of theirs is a mess right now. They did get 21 fourth quarter points, which is what Andrew Luck does a lot of. But much like I said about the Texans finally getting a win, I'm not at all encouraged by the Colts winning that football game.
No, the Colts were lucky to get out of there. And what's funny is the Colts started out, you know, it looked really good for them. And then suddenly Tennessee scored 24 unanswered or something like that. It's like the Colts just fell asleep. And, you know, I think they're really fortunate that they got out of there with that, because if, you know, 0-2 is not the worst thing in the world. You go 0-3,
your
percentages go way down to come back from that.
You're the Lions and the Ravens, and the Ravens lose at home to the Bengals. Bengals are still unbeaten. I got to say, Ravens much worse than I thought they'd be. Bengals much better. And
although that was another one that came right down to the wire.
It did.
It takes a freak show performance by A.J. Green to make it happen. The Ravens just... Their defense is, I'll go ahead and say it boldly, but I don't know if it's, I'd have to look statistically, but they look like the worst Ravens defense in the history of the franchise. And I know it's not the oldest franchise, but their defense has always been their trademark, and they just look awful defensively. I said this at the beginning of the year, and it's clearly coming to fruition. Justin Forsett is not a guy you can run out there as your featured back. And
you got the 1 year out of him you were going to get.
Yeah, and beyond Steve Smith, they really don't have any weapons in the receiving game. The team is just a mess.
Raiders go in and beat the Browns, and I'll tell you what, I love Amari Cooper. This guy is going to be a star in this league.
Amari Cooper is a player, and you know who else is? You know who else is, Fred? Derek Carr.
Latavius Murray?
Latavius Murray had a good game, too. I'm telling you, I think Derek Carr is turning into a really good quarterback. And obviously, it's still early in his career, but he showed some flashes last year. He's been really good this season so far.
He's taken a big jump this year, and you know, we're going to be talking about the Texans passing over him and Teddy Bridgewater for years.
A long time. And I said last week when he threw for 350 or whatever, and this week he throws for 314, two touchdowns, no picks. And they win again. And then I look down and I see Xavier Suofilo not playing.
Yeah.
And I know there's fans who say the Texans would have never taken him because of his last name. If that's how you run your franchise, you are the biggest knuckleheads. I hope that there was a reason they passed on Derek Carr other than the fact that he was David Carr's brother. Yeah, because if that's all that kept them from taking him, that's a huge mistake.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it was.
I hope it wasn't.
But in all honesty, I think... Well, and we said that at the time. You were all over Carr. I was all over Bridgewater. And if both of those guys go on to be really good quarterbacks in this league and you're struggling with the Ryan Mallets of the world and Xavier Suofilo never becomes anything, then, yeah, that's something you're going to hear about for a long time. And you should, because those were first guess, not second guess.
Yep.
We'll do one more before we go to break. Patriots are in full-on bleep you mode.
They are humiliating team. They're throwing when they're up by like 30.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... And, you know, I don't know. I bet against the Patriots this weekend because 14 points in the NFL is just silly. But
by halftime, you were probably feeling like, oh, boy, that was stupid.
Oh, of course I did. I'm not betting against the Patriots going forward because they are good enough to do this to any team. And not to say that they're unbeatable because I don't think that they are.
They're going
to
lose a game or two here.
But they are going out and they're embarrassing teams, and they're going to continue to embarrass some teams over the course of the season. That 3-0 is no joke, and you know, beating the Steelers and the Bills, those teams look like they're pretty damn good.
Yeah, those wins were flattered this weekend by what the Bills went in and did to the Dolphins and what the Steelers managed to do at the Rams with Roethlisberger hurt.
Yeah.
We'll get to those games. And when you look at the rest of their schedule. They're going to get the Cowboys without Romo and Bryant, and then they have the Colts game, and they're home to the Jets. Then they got the Dolphins, Redskins, Giants. I mean, this could go on for a while.
Yeah,
it really could. I think if the Broncos keep playing like they're playing, then that November 29th at the Broncos game would be really interesting.
Yep.
But anyway, let's take a quick break. We come back. We'll finish off the rest of the games, and hopefully we'll get to UT. If not, we'll do that in the 6 o'clock hour, because there's a lot to talk about with that and some of the other college football that we didn't get to. Especially, I want to thank Aggie for the cover. Because I had that at 6.5, and I'm really glad their kicker missed the field goal. It would have sent it to would have given them the win at the end, so that they could go to overtime and win by 7. Thank you for that, A&M. I appreciate you.
Yep.
You and Syracuse are my two favorite teams of the week.
Syracuse did me right, too.
Yeah, those were my two biggest bets on Saturday. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the Rigzone ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, 290 the Northwest Freeway, eastbound at 43rd. Crews have cleared an accident out of a right lane, but there is an accident on the south loop, 610 eastbound at 225, sitting off to the left shoulder. This report is brought to you by Schlotzky's. With Schlotzky's Pick 2, you can now try an oven-baked pasta and half of a fresh tossed salad, or a bowl of the signature soup with half of an oven-baked sandwich. Your choices are endless with Schlotzky's Pick 2. From the Rigzone ESPN 97.5 Traffic Center, I'm Tiffany Terrell.
This is Daniel Cormier from the UFC, and you're listening to The Blitz with Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman, only on ESPN 97.5.
And be seeing him Saturday night.
Yeah.
Pretty excited for that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's zip through the rest of these games. Panthers beat the Saints, and this is one I got lucky on because I bet the Panthers minus three before Breeze was announced out. And
I bet the Saints when it was at 10, so yeah. we both caught our lines at the right time.
And Luke McCown starts off 14 of 15.
I think I told you that's a good chance, a good opportunity for you to middle. I guess you decided not to do it.
No, I didn't because I just didn't know what to expect. But I tweeted out maybe Verizon should try those backup towers too because McCown was so good early. But
It's
Cam Newton was really good yesterday though too, which I expected against that defense.
But. What do you do if you're the Saints? I mean, obviously you play out the season with Drew Brees, but
if somebody would offer me something for him now,
you take it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think I would too.
You get that off the books, and at this point, you're not winning anything this
now,
year.
Now, here's the question: if you're a team in need of a quarterback, are you willing to offer something for Drew Brees?
Well,
like, so for instance, let's just throw it out there hypothetically. If you're the Texans, do you make a play for a guy like Drew Brees?
I think the problem there is his contract is so onerous that I'm not sure there's any way you could make it fit, much less give up something for it.
Right.
But I'd have to dig into that a little more. But obviously it'd be something that I think it depends on where you are. If you're sitting 1-5, no. But if you're 3-2, and not happy with Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer? Absolutely. If he's healthy, that'd be the big question. Eagles go in and beat the Jets, and I was really tempted to bet the Eagles in that game. Kind of chickened out. Jets coming off a big Monday night performance, expected a little bit of a bounce, and that's what we saw. The offense finally looked like the Eagles' offense, at least for the first half.
Yeah, I wasn't thrilled about this game, betting it either way, but it's an interesting game because it kind of lets you know that the Jets weren't as good as they appeared the first couple weeks, and the Eagles aren't going to be the worst team in the league, no matter how they start out. You know, but I think the real question that comes from that game is, what are the Eagles going to do at running back? Because
I think Ryan Matthews looks better,
and Darren Sproles.
Yeah,
that's when their offense looks the best, is when Darren Sproles is in it. Running
and you
back.
Can't use him as an every down back.
No,
but
you can use him a lot more.
Yeah, and DeMarco Murray just. That hasn't worked. Vikings crush the Chargers 31-14. Adrian Peterson is back, I think.
My goodness, what a day.
Yeah, two touchdowns, 126 yards. And I still do not understand, mainly because I lost a bet on it, how the hell the Vikings went in the first week and played like that against San Francisco. This is not the same team. This is how they're going to win games. Run the ball with Peterson, protect the ball with Bridgewater, and play good defense. None of that we saw the first week. We've seen it the last two, though. Chargers are a good team, too. It's not like when they beat the Lions, who I'm starting to think are just garbage.
Yeah, the Vikings did a good job of stopping the run. And they didn't let Phillip Rivers set anything up deep down the field. I thought they did a pretty good job of holding them, you know, within 15, 20 yards and not letting any big plays go over the top. And like you said, just ball control, ball control, ball control. And Bridgewater didn't have a good day, but when you have a running back who's averaging six and a half yards a carry, it doesn't matter.
No.
It's very difficult to win when Adrian Peterson is doing that.
And you don't need him to do much when Peterson's doing
exactly.
That. And you know, that's the thing. He only had to throw the ball 24 times.
Yep.
And if you're doing that, you're going to win a lot of football games. So I'm impressed by this Vikings team. I feel much better about them than I did after week one. And and you're going to have a game where Bridgewater goes off too at some point.
Yeah.
All right. Steelers go in and beat the Rams 12-6. Lose Roethlisberger for at least 4 to 6 weeks. I think it could be longer than that.
That looked so bad.
It did. And that's tough because now Michael Vick is your quarterback. The Rams, same thing. After week one, you think, you know what? Those guys at home, they're so good. And then the last 2 weeks, they're averaging, what, 8 points a game?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with those Rams. I'm not sure how I feel about them. But that was a good showing by the Steelers. Yeah, that's not an easy place to go get a win. And you lose your quarterback a lot. And granted, offensively, they never got right in that game.
No.
But the Steelers' defense, which is their biggest question, showed up in a big way. And the Rams got that ball back with a chance to win the game. And they picked Nick Foles off and secure the win. So for a team that, you know, we say, oh, the Steelers are good, but they suck on defense. Not like the Rams are some kind of offensive juggernaut.
No, but
they held them down at home.
And honestly, look at who they sucked against on defense. The Patriots.
Right. Who everybody's going to suck against. Yeah. The Bills sucked against them, too. I mean, that's a really good team, the Patriots. They're going to make a lot of people look bad. But the one thing I took from that game for the Rams is I don't know if maybe they wanted to ease Todd Gurley in.
Yeah.
But for a guy that, you know, they made a bunch of, he's going to play, and they give him like 3 carries. They just didn't get much out of him, and I don't know if he's really ready, because the plays I saw him run the ball, he didn't look like Todd Gurley. And I hope that we're not totally robbed of what that guy could be or could have been.
It's hard to tell.
It really is. I mean, and
it's
some
just
guys
his first game, and I don't expect him to be right for another 3 or 4 weeks to be what he was, if he's ever that again.
Yeah, but I mean, I always wondered if Willis McGahee would be, you know, what Willis McGahee would have been if he wouldn't have had that grotesque injury. And Willis McGahee had a really solid NFL career, but if you saw Willis McGahee run in college, you thought Willis McGahee's a Hall of Famer, and then he doesn't. His career wasn't a Hall of Famer. It was a very strong career, not a Hall of Fame career. I hope that Todd Gurley can be as good as what he looked like. What his potential could have been.
Cardinals 49ers happened. This is what happens when one of the best teams in the league plays one of the worst. This thing was over early, and I felt so good about my -6 in that game that I never even sweated it. Cardinals just crushed. As long as Carson Palmer's healthy and playing like this, this team is one of the best teams in the NFC.
No question, and they get their starting running back next week.
Yep.
So it's
and the 49ers are a joke.
The Cardinals are kind of under the radar, one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, if I said, the Patriots, if you want to say the Patriots are better than them, okay. There's not another team in the NFL I'm willing to guarantee is better than the Cardinals. The Cardinals look like they can play with anybody.
And Chris Johnson's sighting, too.
Yeah.
They played pretty well for him.
So, but like you said, the 49ers are abysmal. I mean, that thing is just a mess. And Colin Kaepernick played one of the worst games I've seen a quarterback play ever. It was just ugly. And what's made worse for them is typically most of their games are, or a lot of their games are either featured like Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night games, or they're in the 3 or the 3-4 o'clock window where there's not many games going on, so you get to see a lot of them.
Yeah.
And, man, it's going to be a long year for that squad.
And none of those 3 o'clock games were any good. I mean, Seahawks-Bears, there's not even much to say about that. I mean, 26 to nothing. The Bears are just brutal right now. Traded Jaren Allen, which makes sense. Do him a solid. Let him go to a team that can play. And the Bills go in and just destroy the Dolphins. And I'm telling you all along, man, this is a good football team. Defensively, they're excellent. They're getting enough out of Taylor at quarterback. They've got offensive weapons. And again, their only blemish, same thing with the Steelers. They lost to the Patriots, who are just crushing everybody right now.
Yeah, Carlos Williams gave him a good game at running back. I bet he was better than McCoy.
Yeah.
And, man, I told you at the beginning of the year, I'm cautiously optimistic about Tyrod Taylor because I've seen that guy enough that he holds on to the ball for a long time. And you know, sometimes he tries to extend plays that shouldn't be extended when he should just get rid of the ball. And so far, that guy's really impressed me. He looks like he's grown a lot. And if that's the kind of, you know, Tyrod Taylor you're going to see all year, which I'm still, you know, I'm not willing to jump up and down in excitement about the guy just yet. But if that's what you get for 16 games, this team is going to be really good because defensively they are very good.
And Broncos win the game last night. And, you know, Manning certainly doesn't have the arm he used to have, but, man, he still knows where to put it. And they're going to have to win in different ways, but their defense is playing really well. And I got to say, the Lions are not the team I thought they were. They're just not a good football team. Matt Stafford's regressed. That defense has regressed. And I think they're headed for a really bad year.
Yeah, they don't look good at all. They can't run the ball.
No.
And they spent a first-round pick on a running back, and he's more like a change of pace back. And there's just – they don't have anything going for them offensively right now. And Calvin Johnson's not getting the separation he's normally gotten, and Stafford's taking too many sacks. And it's just a mess. And defensively, they are not the same team. They are not the same team that they were.
Texture said, you guys see that Bama is an underdog to Georgia? It's the first time.
First time in like
73
years.
Games.
It's crazy. Been.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll get to college a lot in the 6 o'clock hour, but we're going to talk a little more NFL with Stanford Rout. Then we'll have our gym of the day. And then I want to get into the Texas game. I want to get into A&M game. There's a lot of stuff to talk about, including I have a beef with somebody, too, over their college football rankings.
Okay.
So we'll do that in the 6 o'clock hour for sure. All right, guys, got to tell you about Tupelo's. You know I love it up there. Chip and his team are great. Now that it's football season, this is your place to go watch all the games. Or if you want to watch the Astros, you can watch the Astros and football at the same time. They've got so many TVs there. They've got you covered. No matter where you sit, you can see everything. Just a great, great atmosphere to watch sports, and you get great food. This is not your average sports bar menu. There's seriously not a thing on the menu that isn't awesome. They take care of you. It's a great place for the whole family. And you know what else? They do good things in the community. Save the date. October 12th. Tupelo's is having its first annual charity golf tournament at the Woodlands Palmer Course, benefiting Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Easter Seals, among other great things, runs a Caroline school that was damaged in the flooding back in May, and Tupelo's donated a lot to them then. Now we're going to raise some money for them now. ESPN 97.5 is proud to be a sponsor. Check out 97.5golf.com for the details and to register or otherwise support the cause. Come hang out. AJ and I will be there for the tournament. It'll be a lot of fun. You know we love Tupelo's. We're out there all the time. It's the kind of place you can really make your home away from home. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. Check them out. If you can't make the golf tournament, go by Tupelo's and watch the game, including the game tonight. That's Tupelo's, 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, Tupelo's.com.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And we do this every Monday. Good friend, former NFL and UH cornerback Stanford Rout joins us. Talk a little NFL. Had to give him an update on UH, though, since I was there. But let's talk about this Texans game first, because I think I mean it's good that they got a win, but I don't think that's the kind of performance moving forward that is going to get it done against better teams, especially going against a rookie quarterback. They didn't no sacks, just the one turnover, which was really his mistake. From a defensive perspective, what did you see out of the Texans, and what do you think they need to do better, especially going up against a team like Atlanta next week?
They're definitely going to have to pressure more. Definitely going to have to get more physical with the receivers, the pass game, and not have so much of a sit-back-and-catch mentality or an approach to the game. a lot of times yesterday I saw where there was a bad throw by Jameis Winston or a drop by the receiver. And now, granted, trust me, you take a win any way you can get it. But looking at how that game went, that was more what appeared to me about Tampa Bay not really being that good than the Texans playing on top of being on top of their game. But I definitely think that they'll rise to the challenge, and I think they'll play very well against the Falcons this coming week.
Let's move on to some of the other teams, because we were talking off air about the Cardinals and specifically the Cardinals 49ers. And one of the things that I wanted to ask you about is Tyrann Mathieu, who basically said because they've simplified the offense for Kaepernick so much, it's easier to intercept him.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me as a former cornerback.
Well, you don't have Frank Gore anymore. Vernon Davis right now isn't the same dynamic tight end that he once was. And also, you don't have playmakers really much on the outside other than Anquan Boldin. And he's not even really a guy that's going to stretch the field. He's a guy that's going to maneuver in between the numbers, a guy that's going to move the chains. But with the defense not being as good as it once was, with Patrick Willis retiring, Aldon Smith not being there anymore, and just Jim Harbaugh not being there along with Vic Fangio to coordinate the defense, it falls more on Kaepernick's shoulders. And Kaepernick has never really been a top-notch passer. He's been a dual-threat quarterback. And with that, dual-threat quarterbacks need a good defense because they're not going to throw for 300 yards. They're not going to put up 30, 45 points. So they need a defense along with them to be successful. And with them, with their defense not being stellar like it once was, it falls back on his shoulders, and now he's got to make it happen more on his own, and that's not the type of quarterback he is.
So you just don't think he's good enough to carry that team, basically?
I think it's only about five or six quarterbacks in the entire league that are good enough to carry a team.
What are your concerns about Andrew Luck? I mean, do you think it's more on him right now, or do you think that there are problems that go well beyond what he's able to do?
Man, that's a tough
one. Or even beyond the players.
That's a tough one. I think I've even wondered that to myself internally about what's going on with the Colts. I think that sometimes in the offseason you go and you go all in free agency with getting certain players, and everybody has Super Bowl aspirations. Everybody's picking them to win the Super Bowl. And I've seen this happen a couple of times before, and sometimes it just doesn't gel right. You can go out, you can go get the right players, you can go get the good names. I still think Andre Johnson has a whole lot in him. I think Frank Gore has a whole lot in him. And sometimes it just doesn't gel the right way that you think is going to gel. Sometimes the recipe, the ingredients you put in, it looks good on paper, but it just doesn't gel the right way. Not to say that nobody's talented, but maybe it's just not gelling the right way. But as far as Andrew Luck and his turnover proneness, he's always been a turnover machine, even dating back to his rookie year. He's just been very good and has a gunslinger mentality where even if he's down by 21 points, he's still going to continue to throw the ball. He's still going to take chances. He's still going to throw it in tight windows. And a lot of times he would come back and get into the game and win. But he's always been turnover prone.
Well, let me ask you about that, because almost every great quarterback early in his career puts up big numbers but turns the ball over. Peyton mm-hmm. Manning did it his first year. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers early in his career with the Packers turned the ball over a lot. And then those guys eliminated that, and that was the difference. Why has this not happened yet? I mean, we're getting pretty far along in his career. He's still a young quarterback, but mm-hmm. why are those numbers not going down with him?
I think that he has a gunslinger mentality. And gunslingers are going to throw picks, because when you put the ball in the air, like Deion Sanders always said, there's plays out there on the field with nobody's name on it. And when you got a gunslinger mentality, sometimes it's going to go to the guys in the other jerseys. The only quarterback that I can think of that has a gunslinger mentality and doesn't throw picks is Aaron Rodgers. Tom Brady, yes, also. Yeah. But Aaron Rodgers, that's it. He's the only guy that's going to go out there and throw 40 touchdowns in a season and only throw 7 interceptions. No, nobody else is going to give you that.
Stanford Rout, our guest, former NFL and UH cornerback. And we were talking about some of the other games off air. And what did you think of the Broncos last night? Obviously, Manning doesn't have the zip on the ball that he used to have, but he's still getting it to the right place.
Mm-hmm. I believe that this right here is his best opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Definitely more so than 2 years ago. He threw for, 55 touchdowns, a whole lot of yards, broke several records that season as well. But the defense wasn't stout, and it wasn't as good as this one is right here. Yeah, Peyton Manning has come down a little bit as far as his skill set, as far as his talent level. I still think he's definitely top 10, top 12 quarterback. There's no doubt about that. And I'm even being pessimistic when I say top 12. But because he now has a great defense, he has two top-of-the-line pass rushers, he's got two great corners, has a Pro Bowl free safety, and he's got Wade Phillips over there bringing all that pressure from every which angle, I think this is his best shot to win a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos, because now it doesn't have to be all on him.
One more game I want to ask you about, because you were talking about dual threat quarterbacks, and what Tyrod Taylor has done so far for the Bills through three games is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, he has been doing good.
And doing a good job of distributing the ball. He's doing a really good job of not turning it over. Yesterday he had a total quarterback rating of 95.3, which is just through the roof. Do you think teams will adjust to him, or is this guy the real deal, and is he the right guy in the right offense at the right time?
Well, in this league, the league is going to always adjust to you. That's how you can determine the great players from just the ones who are good, because whenever you start off having success, there's always going to be somebody to find a way to combat that. That's just life, and that's just how it goes in this league. And that's really going to be the final indicator on whether he's good or great. So, once again, he's really doing good for them, and he's got a great defense with Rex Ryan and that whole Buffalo Bills secondary and front seven. So, time will tell. I think when they get to New England the second time and get really in the meat of their division, and when we get to week 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 and around Thanksgiving, that's when I think it's going to really be told on whether he can adjust and adapt to when the league catches up to him and they start figuring out, okay, he always likes to throw to his right, or he doesn't look off the safety good enough, or whatever keys or clues he's given off, because everybody has their indicators. So once the league catches up and he's able to either combat that or adapt, that's when we'll know what he really is.
There was a lot of, leading up to week 3, there was a lot of 0-2 teams, and everybody was panicked. Oh, 0-2, you're at the end of the world. Now we're down to 0-3 teams, and there are four. So Ravens, Bears, Lions, Saints. Which one is the worst? Which one has the least chance of coming back and turning this season around?
The least chance of turning around is the Bears, definitely. They're in a state of flux right now, where they're now going and they're trying to switch an entire personnel from what it once was. The Bears are now running 3-4. I don't think they've ever ran a 3-4
in history
of them being a team. So now you've got an entire slew of players that were drafted, signed to play the 4-3 defense. And now they're playing the 3-4, like Lamar Houston. He was signed to be a 4-3 defensive end. Now you got him playing outside linebacker, fish out of water. They just traded Jared Allen to the Panthers, from what I'm seeing. I'd say that's the team that's probably in the worst position. I would think that because the Saints, or it seems like now Drew Brees is hurt, you're not really sure when he's going to be back, it's going to be tough for them to right the ship, and they don't have any type of defense, especially a secondary in New Orleans. And then you got the Lions. I believe that when you have Calvin Johnson and you got Golden Tate, sooner or later they're going to get back on their feet.
But you got to be able to run the ball somehow, and they can't move the ball at all on the ground.
They can't. I think that sooner or later here, Calvin Johnson's going to take over a couple games and get them some victories, kind of like he always has. And then the Ravens, man, that team right there really just that boggles my mind right there. They play against the Denver Broncos in week 1, play really good on defense. Don't even believe they gave up a touchdown. Then they go and they give up, I believe, what was it, 30 to Oakland in week 2, and then John Harbaugh, he said earlier today that one day, hopefully, we'll learn how to cover A.J. Green, and hopefully we can do it before he retires.
My goodness.
Yeah, they you can tell that it seemed like they're still in preseason mode, because they're still making certain mistakes, and it just looks like they're not sound and put together with what they're trying to do.
All right, that's Stanford Routh, former NFL and UH cornerback, played with the Raiders, played briefly with the Texans. I ask you one more thing real quick. I know we got to go to break, but you were a 4.3 guy and a track guy coming out of college.
Mm-hmm.
You're still in good shape.
4.2 guy, actually.
4.2, okay. How fast can you still run?
I ran a 4.220.
I can do it in 10.
I could definitely still run 4.3 right now. I can't run 4.2. I'm not even going to sit up here and try to fake that, but 4.38, 4.39, 4.40, yeah, I could do that.
Why aren't you in the league then if you're still running 4.3s?
Man, that's a story for a whole nother day.
Oh, my. You know what? We'll do that next week. I want to hear that story.
Who cares about the league? I want to know why a dude who's running a 4.3 can't be in the league today.
Oh, no. It's like I said, it was a lot of decision that I put on myself. And, you know, when I left Oakland, I went to Kansas City. Kansas City was just – it just was not – clearly not for me. And I think that once – I finally sat down and was honest with myself. I realized that there were a lot of things and a lot of love that I didn't necessarily have that I once did. So that's what a lot of it has to do with.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. We'll delve more into that next week. All right, Stanford, appreciate the time, man, as always.
I had no problem.
And, tell people about Gary Trichter.
Yeah, attorney Gary Trichter, guys. If you found yourself in trouble with the law, accused of DWI, it's not always a fair deal. You know, a lot of the times you'll be accused of DWI. You weren't even drunk. You're just out having a beer. You're perfectly within your legal rights to go have a beer and then drive home. I'm not saying you should drive drunk. You never should. But if you're falsely accused of it, you need to know about attorney Gary Trichter. He is a DWI specialist here in Houston. He's experienced in telling the truth about police blood testing and the fallacies behind the science that is involved with police blood testing. One of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the state. So if you're accused of DWI, don't just... Well, so got me. I guess I'm just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. That's not the case. Get a guy like attorney Gary Trichter to be on your side. If you failed the breath or blood test, DWI, DUI, or boating while intoxicated, call attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone right now, 713-524-1010, or visit him online at texasdwilaw.com. One of only 4 board-certified DWI specialists in the state, 713-524-1010, attorney Gary Trichter.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. 2 great sports stations, 2 presets. Lock them in.
And we're back on the Blitz. Join us for lunch Friday. We're at Wingstop in the Heights on Yale from 12:30 until 1:30. Pick up some wings, plus try your luck to win tickets to see the next U of H, Rice or Texas game, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop is the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. All right, went a little long here. We got to get us on the clock a little better here, Aaron. Just going to say.
It's all his fault?
No, it's my fault. But, you know, just a little reminder. Every now and then. It's like, dude, get back on clock. Let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, for all of you who want the Papelbon thing to be Gem of the Day, we're going to talk about that next hour. We'll get to some baseball next hour. We're definitely going to talk college football. So stick around for that.
Busy show!
But this is definitely a Gem of the Day. According to the New York Post... A video exists of 3 Harlem prostitutes
yes.
boxing each other to settle a dispute over $80.
Valid.
Apparently, a year ago, 2 prostitutes named Yaya and Indy thought a coworker named Africa had taken $80 from them.
So this is a 2-on-1 situation?
Yes, it is. It's a threesome. They challenged her to strip naked to prove she didn't have it. The ladies then challenged Africa to a boxing match. To which she agreed.
So did she have the $80 or not when she stripped naked?
I don't think so. She probably already spent it on crack. But
that's a stereotype, and that's not fair to hookers, period.
But she agreed to it, but only on the condition that they also got naked before stepping into the ring. They all did. Said, this is how I want to fight. The stage was set, complete with a referee and a cameraman. And Yaya and Indy eventually beat down Africa and got their money back.
That's not really fair to have 2-on-1 in a boxing match. Well, Africa should have been allowed to get a tag team partner.
Africa did get one last shot in. She ran to a church next door and said she had been kidnapped by her pimp, Lorenzo Sykes, for the purposes of sex trafficking. So she lost the fight and then ratted out her pimp for kidnapping her for sex trafficking.
Not sure how I feel about that story.
But anyway, the prosecutors initially refused to let the guy's defense attorney see the tape of the naked boxing match, but the judge ruled they could watch it in the DA's office, so they have seen it. I want to see it because I want to prove that Africa was injured not by my client, but by the other two girls during the fight.
Yep.
That is your Zadok Jewelers gem of the day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, I'll ask. How much would you pay for a hooker fight to watch a hooker boxing match?
A nude hooker boxing match?
Yeah.
I'd throw down $10 probably.
I'd probably go 20. It depends on what Yaya and Indy look like in Africa.
Listen, any hookers who are willing to get naked and have a boxing match over $80 aren't going to look that good. Let's face
probably
it.
Not. Probably not. But I think there's a whole new business there. Naked hooker boxing.
Maybe so. Maybe so.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
Dana White missed the boat. He jumped on the first thing. Didn't wait for the big thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe he needs to just expand.
Maybe so.
Maybe instead of naked hooker boxing, we go naked hooker MMA.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so we will now get back on the clock. We'll get back on what we're supposed to do here. We're going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we're going to get on college football, get a little baseball talk as well. I think we've hit the NFL pretty hard. We will look at tonight's game a little bit. I have no plays tonight, not going to lie. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the football
game. I am too. If I were going to make a play, if you can get 7, I'd take those points, but... Yeah, it's nothing that I've got to play.
Packers at Lambeau were so tough. That's why I just – and I like this Chiefs team. So.
I didn't have a fantastic weekend, but I had a positive weekend. And after last week, I needed it. I'm still actually a little bit upside down on the season. So I need another good weekend to get me right.
I was 7-0-1 on actual bets this weekend, which was a nice comeback from last week.
You're the boss. I don't know what's going on.
4-1-1 on the ones that we did for – the show, simply because I had to take a third NFL game, and I'd wound up taking the Lions, which was stupid, but I didn't bet it. But, 7-0-1 on the weekend, and I backed off the CFL because my numbers had gone way down. So I wrote down all 4 that I would have played and just kept and didn't play them. I would have been 4-0 on that. So this was a good weekend for me. Not as good as week 2 was, which was the best sports betting weekend I've ever had. But this is pretty good.
You guys should stop tweeting me, asking me for my plays. Tweet Fred.
No, I'll give them to you when I do them. But, like, a lot of them, like, I decided to do the Syracuse play literally 30 minutes before game time.
Yeah.
I looked down, it was still 24.5, and I'm like, screw this, I'm max betting it. I don't always, you know, sometimes I decide to play them at the last minute. I get some more information. I see somebody's not playing. So, I mean, the ones that give away on the show, I'll tell you if I'm going to play them for sure. And I did tell you I was playing A&M at 6.5, and that hit.
By the way, you're not getting 7 on the Chiefs again. It's down to 5.5.
Really?
But I would say that if the Packers are 5.5-point favorites at home, that's a little bit trappy to me.
Yeah.
So I know it's going to seem like, oh, free money.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Jonathan says naked hooker boxing only on ESPN 8, the Ocho. Perfect. Quick break. We'll be right back.